like to read verses 20 through verse 26. Acts chapter 11, verses 20 through 26. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then, or after these things, tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, that is Barnabas, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, that is those who had believed and turned unto the Lord, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he, that is Barnabas, was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. When he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. It came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, that is, at Antioch, and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. In these verses, we have record of Jesus Christ being preached in Antioch. As the result of that preaching, we see in verse 20, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. The result, verse 21, a great number believed. As a result of their belief, they turned unto the Lord. So they believed and they turned. In verse 22, news of this reached the Jerusalem church. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go to Antioch. When Barnabas arrives in Antioch, he observes these individuals in their daily routines, associations, their business practices, their conversations. He observed them in their trials, and their difficulties, and their sufferings. And in it all, we are told in verse 23 that he saw the grace of God. As he observed these individuals, he could see that the grace of God had done a work in their lives. Barnabas saw very definite evidence that these individuals indeed had believed and had turned unto the Lord. He could see that in their lives, and he was glad. He saw a very definite and marked difference in their walk, in their talk, in their attitudes, in their thinking. There was manifest evidence that these had believed and had turned unto the Lord. He could see the evidence of God's saving grace in their lives. And in verse 26, we see that these individuals with the saving grace of God clearly manifest in their lives as a result of believing and turning to the Lord. They were called Christians. And it is from those words that we want to center the thought of the message. They were called Christians. Today, the word Christian does not even resemble the meaning of what it meant in Acts chapter 11. Not even close. Today, in our society and culture, The word Christian is not what it meant. Not just from Acts chapter 11, but not what it meant decades ago. In the Webster's 1828 dictionary, which is the best dictionary you can have, if you don't have it, you need to get one, Christian is defined as a real disciple of Christ. And you could stop right there. A real disciple of Christ, one who believes in the truth of the Christian religion and studies to follow the example and obey the precepts of Christ. A believer in Christ who is characterized by real piety. That's a good definition. Compare that to Webster's dictionary today. Having or showing qualities associated with Christians, not with Christ, but with other quote-unquote Christians, especially those of decent, kindness, and fairness. A person who has received Christian baptism or is a believer in Jesus Christ. Two completely different definitions. The word Christian in 21st century America is quite different from what it was. And if you look at the picture painted in the Word of God of a Christian, the difference is so stark that they are not the same thing at all. In fact, what is called Christian today is condemned all through the Word of God. All through. And is an object of God's hatred. It's a sham. The word Christian today is a sham. If you take the biblical description of Christian, you must come to the conclusion that there are very, very few Christians. If you take the biblical picture of a Christian, there are very few. And I'm not talking about in the world, I'm talking about the religious world. There are very, very few. The message we're going to preach today may be done at noon, I highly doubt it. May be done at 1, may be done at 2. But it's the type of message that will upset some, and I hope it does, in a good way. And it'll anger some, but instead of getting angry, I got a piece of advice. Get right. Get right. Don't get angry. Get right with the Lord. The subject of the message is which brand of Christianity. What brand of Christianity do we have today? Let's briefly consider the brand, the modern brand of Christianity. There is a brand of Christianity today that has its basis in a repeated prayer. Asking Jesus to come into the heart. And in time, these individuals, because there has not been a change, will come to the preacher or the evangelist or whoever, and they will say, I am not sure that I am saved. And the preacher or evangelist we'll say, was there ever a time when you asked Jesus to come into your heart? And the person will reply, yes, there was. And the preacher will say, were you sincere when you asked Jesus to come into your heart? And they will reply, at that time, I was. And then the preacher assures them that based upon such, they are saved. And what you need to do is rededicate your life to the Lord. And that's why these people every Sunday rededicate their life to the Lord. But there is a brand of Christianity that is the basis. When I was 4 years old, I asked Jesus to come into my heart. Or when I was 15, I asked Jesus to come into my heart. I repeated a prayer. That brand of Christianity is based upon a false precept in which there is not a belief that results in a turning from sin unto the Lord. That brand of Christianity is not the real thing. There is also a brand of Christianity today that is simply associated with religion and with the formalities and the traditions of religion. I've always gone to church, and I know the hymns, and on it can go. That doesn't mean that you're a Christian. But there is a brand of Christianity that is based upon religion and religious formalities and traditions. There is a brand of Christianity today based upon cliches that you might read on a t-shirt, or cliches taken from songwriters and not the Word of God. There is a brand of Christianity today that is based upon and determined and guided by a godless antichrist culture. There is a Christianity based upon that. There is a brand of Christianity today that has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Nothing. And that has no real interest in Jesus Christ. Why, some of these mega churches, if the preacher would get up and for 3 or 4 weeks preach Jesus, they'd be emptied. They have a Christianity that has no interest in Jesus Christ. There is a brand of Christianity that is even opposed to Jesus Christ and His teaching. Not the Christ that they have imagined in their imagination, and not the teaching that they have imagined in their imagination, but the Christ and teaching presented in the Word of God. There is a brand of Christianity absolutely opposed to that. There is a brand of Christianity that has nothing to do with the Word of God. A brand of Christianity that clings to ideas and ways that are contrary to the Word of God. A brand of Christianity that will argue against the Word of God. A brand of Christianity that will even mock the Word of God. And even mock God's people who are striving to live by the book. They mock them. But they're Christian. There is a brand of Christianity today that allows plenty of room for the self-life. A brand of Christianity today that allows for all the conveniences of the world. A brand of Christianity that wants nothing to do with inconvenience. There is a brand of Christianity today that allows plenty of room for human reasoning, human philosophy, allows plenty of room for the world, and the ways of the world. There is a brand of Christianity today that would rather look for loopholes than to surrender to thus saith the Lord. They're always trying to find a loophole to get around a commandment, but they're Christian. There is a brand of Christianity today that allows one to live an immoral, wicked, and godless life and then show up on Sunday and go through the formalities of worship. I'm talking about modern day brands of Christianity. There is a brand of Christianity today that is comfortable with sin and that embraces sin and knows absolutely nothing of true repentance and wants nothing of rebuke and personal examination. A brand of Christianity that does not want to be challenged to examine their hearts. They do not want their feelings hurt. A brand of Christianity that does not want the preacher to rain on their godless parade, but instead entertain them and make them feel warm and fuzzy. That's the modern brand of Christianity. There's a brand of Christianity today that is the broad way that leads to destruction. A brand of Christianity today that has no sensitivity toward God. They sin and their heart does not smite them. They're distant from God and their heart does not smite them. There's a brand of Christianity today that has no convictions concerning the ways of God. Their attitude is, well, if that's what you want to do, that's okay. God is love. There's a brand of Christianity today that makes allowances for sensual clothing and behavior. It allows them to dress in an ungodly way. It allows them to parade around naked and see nothing wrong with it. That is a modern brand of Christianity. There is a brand of Christianity that has no desire for the house of God. Has no desire to be around the people of God. Has no interest in spiritual growth. Has no interest in spiritual development. And is very satisfied with the shallow and the superficial. And at best, they just want to merely skim the Word of God. A brand of Christianity that can take you Monday through Saturday. Wednesday may be an exception if you're extremely spiritual and without reading the Word of God. That's the brand of Christianity that's so popular today. There is a brand of Christianity that has no impact upon the life of the individual, has no impact upon their views, has no impact upon their opinions. I'm here to tell you, real Christianity will change your political views. It'll change your views on everything. You can't separate it. There's a brand of Christianity today that does not impact one's personal life. It does not impact their home life. It does not impact their work or their recreational life. All that remains the same. If I was late for church this morning, and got up here just in time to preach, and I told you that the reason I am late is because on my way to church, I had a flat tire. And as I was changing the tire, one of the lug nuts rolled out into the highway. So I immediately ran out in the highway to get it, and bam, a semi-truck ran over me. That's why I'm late. Now, none of you would stand up and say, "Brother Dan, you're a liar." But you'd be thinking it. Why? Because there's no evidence that I got hit by a semi-truck. You can't get run over by a semi-truck and it not have an impact upon your life. And yet today there are people who want us to believe that they are saved and they have it has made absolutely no impact in their life. They're either literally, purposely lying or they are deceived. One of the two. There is a brand of Christianity that has its roots in being raised in church. They pass down religion. The simple truth is there is a brand of Christianity that is utterly false. There's nothing real about it. It is anemic. It is sterile. It is absolute barren. And these various brands of Christianity will not get you through the difficulties of life. And the truth is, you'll die and go to hell with these brands of Christianity. So now let's look at biblical Christianity. Again, in our text, we read of those who believed and turned unto the Lord. And this was in response to the preaching of the Lord Jesus. They believed. As a result of their belief, they turned to the Lord. That's salvation. If that's never happened to you, you're lost. They believed and they turned unto the Lord. That's something more than being raised in church. Now, I'm not condemning being raised in church. There's no better place to be raised. But don't confuse that with salvation. This is something more than attending church regularly. And again, I'm not condemning attending church regularly. You ought to. This is something more than being active in church. This goes beyond being raised in a Christian home. If you've been raised in a Christian home, you ought to thank God every day. But don't confuse that with salvation. This is something more than incorporating the teachings that you learned at home into your own life, because you can do that and still be lost. This is something more than singing and listening to spiritual songs and reading Christian literature and being moral and being religious. And all those things are good, but it's not salvation. They believed and they turned unto the Lord. This is a delivery from whatever they turned from. It is a release, a liberation, a rescue, an emancipation from sin. This is salvation. They believed and they turned unto the Lord. It's personal. It's personal experience. It's phenomenal. It's wonderful. It's a marvelous experience. Something that actually occurs, which means it requires a time and place. They believed and turned unto the Lord. They personally experienced the almighty power of God, bringing them out from under the control and the entanglements and the ensnares and the imprisonment of sin and Satan. They believed and turned unto the Lord means that they had the personal experience of coming under the power of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God disrupted their life, causing them to see and to feel the reality of the fact that they were violators of the law of God. Folks, this is something far greater than asking Jesus into your heart. Causing them to see and feel how loathsome, how vile, how filthy and shameful their sins were. Coming under the power of the Spirit of God, causing them to feel the weight of their sins, filling their hearts with sorrow and remorse over sin, causing them to see and to feel the danger that they were in, bringing them to a state of helplessness and hopelessness, and in distress of soul, they cry out unto the Lord, turning from their sins, turning from their ways, and whatever else they were trusting in, and fleeing to Christ. That's the basis of Christianity. A personal salvation experience. One can never be a Christian without this miraculous event of salvation taking place. And this has a life-altering impact upon the saved individual. This isn't something you get over in a week or a year or the rest of your life. It has an impact. The ones in our text called Christians manifested in their lives the saving grace of God. It was manifest in their life. Those who have been truly saved realize this truth and they never get away from it. Jesus left the glory of heaven for me. Came to this sin-cursed earth for me. Lived a perfect life of righteousness for me. Put that righteousness to my account. Took my sins upon himself and paid my sin debt. Died, laid down his life for me, was put in a tomb, rose victorious from that tomb for me, ascended back into heaven, victorious, the right hand of God, all for me. Truly saved individual can't get away from that. Those who have been saved realize that Jesus has made a difference in my life. But not only my life, but my eternity. He's made a difference. And now, these individuals realizing this, they love the Lord. They love Him. And He is the love of their lives. And it is a love without reservation. I know there's a brand of Christianity today that holds love in reservation. That's not Christianity. A love filled with excitement and enthusiasm for Him. There's a love that has a powerful drawing effect. We love our families. And our families, those we love, have the power to draw us. But our greatest love is Jesus Christ. And there is to be a powerful drawing effect. More powerful than anything else. It is a love that is uninhibited. That fills the individual with a passion for Jesus Christ. He left the glories of heaven for me. That ought to fill us with passion and a yearning for Him. It is a love that causes our heart to beat for Him. It is a love that fills us with a desire to be like Him. I'm talking about biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity wants to be Christ-like. In every area that we fail to be Christ-like, our heart smites us. Desire to be set apart to Him and serve Him. In all areas of our life, whether it be at work, at school, at home, the grocery store, wherever it might be, it's all about Him. It's a love that causes Him to be the priority. It's a brand of Christianity today. Christ is way down on the list. The biblical Christianity, He's the priority. He's the emphasis. He's the object and center of all that we do and all that we think. It's a love for Him that enables us to say no to family. There's a brand, a biblical Christianity enables you to say no. I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to be at your family reunion because it's on the Lord's day. No. Well, they won't love me anymore. That's not your main concern. Biblical Christianity has the ability to say no to career. You will work Sunday or you will be fired. Fine. I was looking for a job when I found this one. No. Just this one time, don't be a fool. No to recreation that stands in the way of Him. Well, the grandchildren have a t-ball game. No! Well, they'll cry. They'll get over it. A love for Him that desires to be fully identified with Him in all areas of life. Biblical Christianity causes us to refuse, to renounce, and to reject self for Him. Talking about a love that causes us to submit ourselves to be molded to Him. not molded to the world, but molded to Him, and shaped, and to be trained and taught to be continually transformed and conformed to Him. Again, verse 26, the disciples were called Christians. This means that Christ is the foundation of your life. You're not a Christian if, I'm not saying you're not saved, but you're not a Christian if Christ is not the foundation of your life. If He does not have a relevant force, if He is not a relevant force in your life, that's not biblical Christianity. To be Christian is to look to Jesus and say, "This is my master. My family over here is not my master. My career over here is not my master. This is my master, Jesus." Well, I believe you're taking it too far. He left the glories of heaven and saved your soul. You can't take it too far. We're to give all. This is my master. I prefer Him. And families say, "Well, you prefer your church and you prefer your religion over us." Bingo! You're right. Because here's why. He left heaven for me and saved my soul. And yes, we prefer Him. Doesn't mean that we don't care about our family. But He's our preference. And God's people are our preference. I have no desire to go to a family reunion where they're going to sit around and drink and talk about worldly things. It's uncomfortable. I don't want to be there. Would much rather be with the people of God. It means that you possess a determination, a resolve, an aspiration, a yearning, a craving, an eagerness for Jesus Christ. That's biblical Christianity. It means that Christ is seen in our lives. And we're heartbroken where He's not seen in our lives. It means that there is an attraction to Jesus Christ. Let's face it today, there's no denying it. Most who profess to be saved, to be children of God, have more of an attraction to the things of this world than they do the Lord. There's an enjoyment of Christ. Let's face it today. Many who claim to be saved find no enjoyment being in the house of God. They find no enjoyment being with the people of God. They'll go to their family reunions or their family get-togethers on the Lord's Day and they'll have the audacity to say this, "You know I would rather be here." No, I don't know that. Because it seems to me that if you know that, this is where you would be. So no, I don't know that. And neither do you. So this Christianity is not occasional. It's not sporadic. It's not limited to certain places. And it's not dependent upon circumstances. It's not dependent upon convenience. Biblical Christianity is a Christ-saturated life. They were called Christians. First in Antioch. It is Christ, biblical Christianity is Christ in our decisions. Christ in our choices. Christ in our motives, Christ in our aims, our goals, our purposes, our hopes, our emotions, our relationships, our employments, our homes, our marriages, Christ in all of it. And yet today, people who say they're Christians make decisions, they make career choices, they make school choices, they make marital choices, and Christ has no part in any of it. But I'm a Christian. Yeah, and I got hit by a semi on my way to church today. Can't you tell? Oh, may we step forth and unashamedly and with courage and conviction, with hearts filled with thanksgiving and praise, declare, I'm a Christian. And oh, that others would recognize such. It brings us to our third point. What is? We've looked at the world's brands of Christianity. We've looked at the biblical brand of Christianity. What is our brand of Christianity? We read in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. People don't want to do that today. You know why? Because deep down they know they're not. They'd rather go on fooling themselves. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. So what is our brand of Christianity? Is your brand of Christianity have its basis in religious forms and traditions? Is it merely passed down through your family tree? Or does it have its foundation in a personal salvation experience? Does your brand of Christianity allow you to place your reasoning and philosophy ahead of thus saith the Lord? Is that the kind of Christianity you have? Does your brand of Christianity allow you to live a godless life all week long? Let me explain godless, because most people right away think that means sleeping around and all of that kind of thing. No, it's just not having God in your life. Godless. Does it allow you to live a godless life all week long? Then come into the house of God if it's convenient and go through the formalities of worship. And then go back there and lie to the preacher, oh, I really enjoyed that message. In fact, I enjoyed it so much I won't be here Wednesday. Does your brand of Christianity make you sensitive to God? Does your brand of Christianity let you feel satisfied, see nothing wrong with putting family ahead of the Lord, with putting work ahead of the Lord, with putting recreation ahead of the Lord? Is that your brand of Christianity? Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Does your brand of Christianity allow you to feel that it's okay to consistently miss Sunday school? Is that the brand of Christianity you have? You have the brand of Christianity that you see nothing wrong with walking into the house of God late. And things happen. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Year after year after year. Is that your brand of Christianity? Well, at least I'm here. Is that your brand of Christianity? You know good and well, if you're going to a concert or a sporting event, you'd get there early. You know that's true. But let's be honest. Why do people consistently come in late? Well, may not be correct here, but seems to me they don't. It's really not that exciting to them. Or they'd be here early. If I say the first one that gets here next Sunday gets $1,000, some of you'd be out in the parking lot Saturday night sleeping. You know it's so. Because you're excited. What brand of Christianity do we have? Have a brand of Christianity that lets you feel it's okay to text or check your text in the house of God? Is that your brand of Christianity? Well, I use my phone for a Bible program. Okay. Do you ever go anywhere else on it? Well, occasionally I check my email. Is that your brand of Christianity? It can't wait. It can't wait till you're out of the house of God. I'll even go further. You can't leave your phone in the car for 2 hours? Are you that important? I got news for you. You're not. Does your brand of Christianity allow you to feel it's okay for the preacher to study all week in order to bring a message to you, and then you don't pay attention or come and go as you please? Does your brand of Christianity allow you to think that's okay? Biblical Christianity doesn't work that way. Does your brand of Christianity allow you to be satisfied being unmoved by the preached word of God? Does it allow you to, as soon as the amen is said, to immediately start talking about the things of the world? Happens every Sunday. Every Sunday. Well, what do you mean every Sunday? I mean every Sunday. It happens. Word of God is preached, and immediately people start talking about the football game, the baseball game, the basketball game, or where they're going for dinner. Does your brand of Christianity allow you to shut it off that quick? Now, when you get up from the pew and that's the first thing you were talking about, guess what you were thinking about during the whole service? Does your brand of Christianity cause you anxiety when the service goes longer than you expected? That's why I told you today that it might go later than 12. I don't want some of you to get too anxious. We got a restaurant reservation. The Lord might save someone, you'd be late. Wouldn't that be sad? It's pitiful. It really is. Does your brand of Christianity cause you to leave the house of God as quickly as possible? To get back out into the world? It seems to me that we ought to just take our sweet time getting out of this building. Because there isn't much out there. Does your brand of Christianity allow you to be angry with the pastor or other members and to hold on to it? Does your brand of Christianity allow you to do that? Does your brand of Christianity bring you to church as a critic? Critic of the preacher, a critic of what is preached, how it's preached, a critic of every other member in the church? Is that the brand of Christianity? It's the brand that many have. Is your brand of Christianity the passed down failure of mom and dad's Christianity? I've had people tell me, I don't go to church because mom and dad, they were just religious. Well, why don't you do it the right way then? No one said you have to adopt their failure. Do what's right. That's just an excuse. Does our brand of Christianity allow us to be reluctant, hesitant, and even aggravated anytime you are asked to do anything in the house of God or in the service of the church? Well, Pastor, you know, I got this and this and this and this. You know what? I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. What would happen if I came here on Sunday morning and I said, folks, I don't have a thing for you. I know you'll understand because I was busy. Oh, yeah, we understand, Brother Dan. You don't. And yet, I hear it all the time. All the time. There is a brand of Christianity, or do we have a brand of Christianity, that allows us to be constantly distracted and caught in a cycle detrimental to serving the Lord? That allows life to always be in the way of the Lord? Or do we have biblical Christianity? That we simply want to give the one who saved our soul everything. We want to give him our life. We want him to always be first and never, ever, ever next. Always first. People say all the time, well, the Lord understands. You might be surprised standing before the judgment what the Lord understands. Christianity that sees life in all its variety and circumstances as an opportunity to serve the Lord. That's biblical Christianity. To be separated unto Him. For Him to have the preeminence. Being fully committed to Him. Leaning upon Him, depending upon Him, fully identified with Jesus Christ, a Christianity that draws us to Christ, a Christianity that will not allow us to remain cold and indifferent. Yes, we may become cold and we may become indifferent, but we need a Christianity that will not allow us to remain cold and indifferent. Christianity that desires and prays for more faith, for more grace, more power, more peace, more assurance, more victory. Is this our brand of Christianity? A Christianity that longs for a greater and more personal experience of the Lord, and that walks with God. We ought to walk into this building with God, and we ought to walk out with God. And if you didn't walk in with God, you most certainly need to walk out with Him. A Christianity that is gripped with the person of the Lord. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Gripped by the message of this book. A Christianity that moves us in the direction of God. Oh, to be a Christian. In the true meaning of the word. They were called Christians. First at Antioch. Oh, to be a Christian. Not in the way the world uses that term today, but a biblical Christian. Examine. Examine your Christianity. What brand do you have? What brand do you have? Here's the truth. Some will walk back there, I'll be standing there, and they'll say, oh, Brother Dan, that message spoke to me, and you won't be here tonight. You won't be here tonight. And you may not be here Wednesday. Well, man, it really, that gave me something to think about. Seriously? What brand of Christianity do we have? Thank God for Christian people. Real Christian people. We have some here. And we have some here that have a different brand of Christianity than this book talks about. You say, well, that's judging. That's observation. It's observation. Thank God for Christian people. Pray for one another. God will make us to be what we need to be. There's too much at stake here. I have had people come to me and say, Brother Dan, I'm so burdened for my children. Pray for them. They don't come to church like they ought to. And there's mom and dad. They make it once every other week. And they can't understand. I don't understand why they don't come. They were taught better. You're teaching them now. Who needs to be prayed for is mom and dad in that situation. But somehow reality would hit them and cause them to see. I don't understand why my son or my daughter just can't stand the preacher, because you talked about them all their child-raising lives. Well, I don't understand it. Certainly we're not that dense. God help us. Pray for one another. Pray that God would do a work within us, cause us to be what we need to be. There's too much at stake. Your family, your life. There's too much at stake to not pay attention to this. Brother Larry, would you come and lead us in verse song? Let's all stand. Brother Larry will lead us in singing.